Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
The result of this culture is what I call ugly attitudes of entitlement. And kids with ugly attitudes of entitlement grow up to be adults with them. They think everything is owed to them. And I think it all points back to this thing called the consumer credit industry, because we can point at the time when things started to change in this country. It was about 45 years ago when the first credit card was introduced and people started to realize that they didn't have to fund their own emergencies. They could depend on a credit card, and it has become socially acceptable, and it's an ugly, awful thing that's going on.
That's rather sobering commentary from author and speaker Mary Hunt, but she has a very, very valid point. And for those of us who are in our 50s and have kids in the college world, credit debt is just something that we've kind of come to accept in this country, even into retirement years for baby boomers. How can we as parents raise financially confident kids if we don't have the discipline to be financially confident adults? Well, today on the Homeward Broadcast, part two of Dr. Jim Burns' insightful conversation with best-selling author Mary Hunt about tips for raising financially confident kids. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you have not downloaded the APU iPhone app yet, go to iTunes and get it. Do that right now. And now, here's part two of this conversation with Dr. Jim Burns and Mary Hunt. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A continuing conversation with Mary Hunt. Tips for raising financially confident kids. Hey, we need this as adults as well. In fact, one of the reasons, Mary says, why kids don't really get any training from their parents is because parents are messing it up. Well, Mary is an award-winning and best-selling author whose books have sold more than 1 million copies. She is a syndicated columnist, read by hundreds of thousands of readers each week, and has been married to Harold for more than 40 years. They live in Orange County, California, where our broadcast is, although we're on the phone today. She's the founder of Debt Proof Living. She's written a great new book that we're talking about called Raising Financially Confident Kids. Mary, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
It's great to have you with us. Right from the beginning, should we give teenagers a credit card?
No.
Should we give college students a credit card with a little bit?
Yes.
So what's the difference?
Well, my firm belief is that in the society in which we live, like it or not, credit has become part of our lives, not in order to create debt. Credit, a credit score, all of those things give us the best options and the best pricing on things like auto insurance, believe it or not. Kids need a great credit score to get a great job, to rent an apartment, all these things. Credit scores, credit histories have become like a character reference, and so you've got to build this. So the way to do that is you start with a credit card in which you never ever carry a balance, but that you keep it active. We've got to teach kids how to do that. While they're in college, they can qualify quite easily for a great credit card, so they need to do that before they get out of school. But I think that they are young adults by that point. I think credit cards are not appropriate for teenagers or younger, even though they are available. And I think that the lessons that parents want to teach their kids are to make them more comfortable with living on credit in the future. I mean, that's just how it is. I think it's just something that's too complex for a teenager to handle.
You know, you mentioned college, and I am fascinated because I read in your book that colleges, and I didn't know this, colleges have come to kind of rely heavily on what they call rebates they receive from credit cards issued on their campuses.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're telling us is if a college student, who most college students can't handle money in a good way, and that's why there's so much credit card debt with this, but the credit card companies are actually rebating the colleges. So even colleges, you know, should get their hands slapped for this.
Well, colleges have these affinity cards. You know, like if you go to a certain school, you can get that one with a label on there. And, you know, a lot of people are believing that the new law was passed where credit card issuers are no longer allowed to appear on campus to solicit new customers, and they go, phew, God, that's over. Well, don't be so happy, folks, because what cannot be stopped are your students receiving these solicitations in the mail. So they just load up their campus mailboxes with them, and they get them online as well. There's plenty of credit available out there for students. But see, my thought is that we cannot not isolate our kids from this. I mean, we've got to teach them to live in the real world. But what we do is we insulate them through education so that they're able to go out there and to make the right choice when they're faced with these critical decision points. The first one is going to be about a credit card. I promise you it is. Your kids need to know about credit cards and about debit cards and the difference and how to handle them. If I could just tell you how easy it is to teach kids about money before they've made the big lifelong mistakes. It's easier than teaching them good manners. It's easier than teaching them to do their laundry and make their beds and not to burp in front of everybody. I mean, those things were harder than teaching money is so easy because there's such a big payback and kids love it.
Well, also, you're exactly right. I remember when one of my daughters was in college at Point Loma Nazarene University down in San Diego area, and one of her friends had a credit card, and my daughter Christy said, yeah, she bought me gas. And she's been doing this. Well, it was her parents' credit card. It wasn't her credit card. So she's spending her parents' money in some ways on friendships, you know, maybe even trying to buy friendships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just way too complicated. We do need to make sure that we're teaching our kids to be stewards of this. Let me ask you a question. Today's consumer-driven culture, I mean, we're battling something because kids today are entitled partly because, you know, of commercials and because of so many things that are just, we'll be happy if we can only buy this outfit or if we can get this food or whatever it is. How do we counter this consumer-driven culture?
Yeah, it's hard. And I the result of this culture is what I call ugly attitudes of entitlement.
Mm, yeah.
And they start popping up in children very, very young. I know this. I raised a couple and nearly blew it, but caught ourselves when our boys were quite young. But I can tell you, it's awful. And kids with ugly attitudes of entitlement grow up to be adults with them, where they think everything is owed to them and they've got to have the best. And sadly, parents, I know the feeling. We want our kids not to suffer. We want them to have things better than we had. And so it's easy to do that. And I think it all points back to this thing called the consumer credit industry. Hmm. Because we can point at the time when things started to change in this country. It was about 45 years ago when the first credit card was introduced and people started to realize that they didn't have to fund their own emergencies. They could depend on a credit card, and it has become socially acceptable, and it's an ugly, awful thing that's going on.
You know, I'm a person who works in the world of marriage and parenting, and so many times in marriages, they say that one of the major issues in a marriage, which obviously we're talking about kids today, financially confident kids, but it affects kids in such a way, is debt and, you know, poor financial stewardship. And you talk about a debt-proof plan, and you have a few steps on that. Mm-hmm. So if somebody comes to you and they're saying they want to teach their kids, but at the same time they're going, yeah, we need to teach our kids, but we're in a mess. Where do they start? How do they get through just the beginning? What are those beginning steps, and how do you take them toward being a debt-free type of a family?
Yeah, well, first of all, parents need to realize that everything they do, their children see, and they are interpreting in their own way. And children don't have the life experience and knowledge to be able to interpret things properly. So when you cruise through Walmart with a basket full of stuff, hand or swipe a plastic card, which the kids think is magic, and then you get to keep your card, put it back into your wallet for the next time, plus you get all the stuff too. I mean, what is this telling them?
Right, right.
That's why I don't think, and you'll read this in the book, I don't think kids should ever see their parents using plastic, ever. It's an adult activity, should be kept private. Parents should only do that out of the eyeshot of their children. It needs to be cash. Children need to see that cash, what it is, what it feels like, that a quarter is bigger than a dime, and you can buy more with a quarter than with a dime, but once you buy something, you don't get the quarter back. And you make a decision, and then you have to live with the decisions. And you talk about that. I mean, it's part of life. So many parents don't know how to talk about money, so they don't. And kids make their own rules and distinctions and don't get to manage any of it, and by the time they leave home, they are so anxious to accept all those credit cards that are available to them. And, you know, bad decisions make lifelong problems for people, and I think we're seeing that over and over and over again. And the point of the book is, you know, I got into horrible trouble, and as a young married woman, nearly ruined my life, and it was coming out of that and having a real spiritual experience. Jim, I got to tell you that my life was in such bad shape. I had done everything wrong. I'd hidden debt from my husband, which, you know, that's it. What ends up happening. Debt causes marriage partners to push away from each other because this huge brick wall builds up between them where you lose trust, you lose faith. It's an ugly, horrible thing that can happen, and it all stems to debt. So my whole mission for the last 20 years has been able to help people to see that they can debt-proof themselves, they can debt-proof their kids. And what that means is, You manage the money that you receive in such a way that you are living below your means, you're saving, you're giving, because that brings balance to your life, and it kind of nips that greedy thing in the bud that we all deal with, you know, living in a prosperous area, nation. We feel guilty, and we feel greedy because we want everything we see. But it's so easy to change this in a child by setting up some rules, allowing them to manage the money on their own, and then requiring them to live with the consequences of their decisions. That is the whole basis of this whole book, how to do that and how to develop that in your children.
Well, you talk about developing financial intelligence, and I love the phrase, it's not how much money you really make, but how you manage what you have that matters. Mm-hmm. And when you as a parent aren't doing it, it's so much easier than not talk about your kids, to your kids about it. So what's the first step for a parent?
Well, yeah, you know, there's nothing like a young teenager to point out all the hypocrisy, especially in the
right.
parents,
exactly.
And they will. Parents, just, you got to realize that it doesn't matter what you say if what you do doesn't back it up. If those two things are not in alignment, your kids are always going to err to the side of what you do, okay? And so if you say, you know, you don't spend money you don't have, but yet you put $2,000 of gifts for Christmas on a credit card, you know, right there, you're doing bad things to your kid's mind because, you know, you're not walking the walk, you know, or you're just talking, you know. And so that's it. First of all, parents need to become circumspect. And I'll tell you that I've had so many people write and tell me that by debt-proofing their kids changed their lives because they had to realize that they needed to model for their kids what a financially confident financial responsibility is all about.
That's great input. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Mary Hunt, Raising Financially Confident Kids is the name of the book. Roger's going to talk about it right now. And Mary Hunt, delight to be with her today. Great stuff. Very important. One of the key issues you want to be talking to your kids about is this whole idea of finances. And a lot of times we miss it. It's a part of stewardship. It's so critical. And yet again, oftentimes because we're not doing a good job, we don't lay this on our kids, and we need to. And I'm so glad we could have Mary on the broadcast today. We'll be right back with more. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
And the resource Jim is talking about, of course, is Mary's book, Raising Financially Confident Kids. This is an updated version of a book that she wrote when her boys had just finished high school and were moving into the young adult years. And the updated version, now her sons are in their late 30s, and they're doing quite well. Thank you very much. It's always nice to know that they were able to continue on with these financial principles. But these are things that doesn't matter how old your kids are, if you haven't been the kind of financially confident parent that the kids need so they can be financially confident kids, it's never too late to start. And this is a book that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. Check it out at homeward.com. Also, check out in the articles and tip sheets section the tip sheets that we have with Steadfast Companies about raising financially confident kids as well. Find that all at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I love being on my own. College life is the best.
That's as long as her mother and I keep paying the bills.
I have the coolest apartment off campus, and my roommates are awesome.
She says that because they love coming to an apartment that actually has food in the fridge, which I am paying for, of course.
Being on my own doesn't cost as much as I thought it would.
Her visa bill for the first month she was at college, $1,400.
Check it out. The minimum payment on my credit card this month is only 10 bucks. I don't understand why my dad's all freaked out.
For many kids, using a credit card gives them a false sense of security because they don't feel like they actually have to pay for what they're buying. Well, spending money becomes a lot more real when you have to count out the bills and manage the change. But if your son or daughter wants to be cool by carrying plastic, well, I'd recommend an arrangement that allows them to carry a debit or cash card and nothing more. By the way, you can download a free copy of my tip sheet called Teens and Credit, Handle with Care at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Mary Hunt with us today. Tips for Raising Financially Confident Kids is what we're talking about. She's written this great book. We've been talking about it, Raising Financially Confident Kids. And I'd suggest you start implementing this debt-proofing experience right now for your kids. It could change their kids' life. It could change your life in a big, big way. You know, by the age of 7, the average child will have seen 20,000 television commercials. That's just 30-second ads. The total rises when you add in the 15-minute spots, billboards, 60-minute ads. It's incredible. Infomercials, the whole bit. That means that the typical American child will have been exposed to almost 500,000 selling messages by age 20. That's going to influence them in a big way. Mary, what's happening today? Kids want something. They see it on TV. It's instant. They can actually go to Amazon.com or they can go to these other places. They can buy it right away. You know, what's happening to the mentality of kids these days?
You know, I'm scared because, you know, we are presenting to our kids a world that everything you want is free. You know, parents make it look like that. I mean, I even think about my little 3-year-old grandson who will bring me my iPhone and tell me that he wants a new app. He wants a new app.
Right.
And it's just like, click the button, Mama. Just click the button and get the new app. You know, and it's crazy, but it's not impossible. Parents can easily counteract this and use these things as teaching tools.
Well, you mentioned this, Mary, about your grandchild, and you said in the book that it's not just college students that they're after. We've talked a little bit about that with, you know, credit scams. I mean, talk about the ways that credit card companies are actually targeting preschoolers as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because they're desensitizing them to the idea of credit, making it very, very common. Eli, my 3-year-old grandson, has a play school cash register. I got it for him because it's got play money and coins and we can count. But guess what else it has? It's got a little slot with a plastic pretend credit card, and you swipe that thing, and it does exactly like a real cash register in a store. And I am just flabbergasted. I'm going, wow. And you look in the box, and sure enough, you know, it's been endorsed by one of the major credit card issuers. And then how about Cool Shopping Barbie? Anybody seen her? She comes with a MasterCard permanently implanted in her little hand. I mean, it's part of the doll. She's got a MasterCard because she loves to shop. And it comes with a little thing, and it goes credit accepted or credit approved, you know, and she goes to her little boutique. I see this as desensitizing our kids to the idea of credit, that you use that from a very, very young age. Let me tell you, credit card companies are losing a lot of customers as people get older and die off and, you know, go into retirement and don't use credit so much anymore, and they're looking at the next generation. And guess what? It's our kids. It's the next generation of debtors, and they are counting on it big time.
That's fascinating. Tell us a little bit more about debt-proof living. You have an interactive website. Tell us how our listeners could get involved in this.
Yes, Debt-Proof Living is an organization that I founded more than 20 years ago. Our whole mission is to help people who are looking for reasonable ways that they can begin to live below their means, something that has just never been thought of as the American way. Live below your means, save and give in such a way that you are able to fund your own emergencies, not depending on credit in order to do that. A big deal at Debt-Proof Living is helping people to get out of debt. Boy, I know a lot about that, and it's been the joy of my life to lead so many thousands of people out of debt, but not only that, but teaching them how to stay out. And we are a huge organization, a large community of people all making this journey to financial solvency, learning how to raise our kids so that at least our next generation knows how to manage money and realize that debt is not the way to live. And I would invite anyone to come. It's debtproofliving.com.
Debtproofliving.com. Roger, let's put a link on our website today so that our listeners can also come to, if they come to the Homeward site for some reason, they can also hear more about that. It's great. So exciting. I was going to ask you a question. Actually, a good friend of our ministry, Kevin Lehman, endorsed your book, but then he said something that made me think about this. He said today about 85% of kids who, you know, we've raised to go out on their own actually come back as young adults.
Yep,
and many times they're coming back because of finances. Maybe they're broke, maybe they're in debt. What do you say to the parent who says, wait, I've got this 20-something kid who's back at home and they're broke and they're in debt, and what do we do?
Well, you know, this happens so much, and boy, I'll tell you that a lot of our debt-proof living family are in this position because these kids can't find jobs. They come home with a lot of student debt and credit card debt. And, you know, the first thing is that you cannot make them a blanket bailout. You know, don't be Congress in their lives. These kids have to get out and do something. And parents, you've got to set this up like real life. They have to pay rent. They have to carry their weight. They have to follow the rules. They have to get a job. Even if that is mowing lawns, you have to get the kids out there and teach them that there's no freeloading allowed. You know, the rent might be commensurate with their ability to pay, And that's fine, but you've got to set this up like real life, or those kids are going to be here 20 years from now because, you know, they've got those, again, I hate to keep saying it, but they've got the ugly attitudes of entitlement.
You're right. And one of the jobs, and we talk about this a lot on the Homeward broadcast, is not to raise necessarily just obedient children, but raise responsible adults. The way we raise responsible adults is take the monkey off of our back and place it squarely on their back, and that means with finances, too. Sometimes we want to help our kids. I know Kathy and I, we have a daughter who is getting married. And so she's back living at home to save money. She's a, you know, a teacher right now. And so we're charging her rent, but the rent is, she doesn't know this yet, but the rent is just going in a little account for her. Once she gets married, we're going to actually hand her that money back.
And, you know, we did the same thing with our boys. They didn't know it, but it helped them to be able to help buy their first home.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's great. That's a great lesson.
Yeah. But and it's interesting because with her, she's really one time I remember she said, can I have a 5-day, you know, break here? Because, you know, I'm not going to get paid. She's a teacher. And she goes, you know, I need 5 days. And we went, oh, absolutely. And we just kind of smiled because we're actually, I shouldn't be saying this on the air, although she's probably not going to listen to this broadcast, Roger. But, you know, it's a really neat thing that we're thrilled that she's being responsible and paying us. But we also don't need the cash in our, mm-hmm. you know, in our account right now. We actually want to be able to serve her in a neat way. And,
you know, that reminds me of the way God must think of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't need our money. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need us to give mm-hmm. back to him. We need to. He knows that we need that lesson. We need what the fabulous results will be from that. And that's such a beautiful picture of that.
Yeah, it sure is. Talk about experiences of people giving. And we don't have much time left, but I'd love to hear about that because I know that's a big thing in your life and what you talk about.
Right.
And yet, a lot of times when people who want to give, they can't because they're so debt strapped, but yet people who give, it really does make a difference in their life.
It does, this is a lot that I deal with here at Debt Proof Living because people, especially in debt, believe that it's almost immoral, illegal. That how could I possibly give any money away when I can't even send money to my creditors this month? And I say, you know what? You've got a problem here. You've got a basic problem called greed and fear. Those are two things we all deal with, Jim. We all do. Because we're human. And the thing is, the best thing to get rid of the greed is to be grateful, to reach out, to be honestly grateful. And the way you do that is to give away some of the money you would have spent on yourself in order to bless and to help someone who is in worse shape than you are. Now, even if that's $1, I don't know anybody who cannot spare $1 to give away. It's the act of doing it, the very first dollar, not if you have something left. So giving has become a very, very important part of debt-proof living. I suggest that people really need to give first because that quiets that thing, the greed thing, that I don't have enough, I'll never have enough, I'm worried, all of that kind of thing. The next thing is you put away the very same amount for yourself that you don't touch. If it's $1, if it's 10, if it's 100, whatever it is. Now that calms down that thing called fear. Giving and saving. I call them the two silver bullets. I don't know how my husband and I ever managed to pay back more than $100,000 in unsecured credit card debt, but we did. And if I had to give you an answer, I'd say, you know what? We gave and saved our way out of debt because when we were giving and saving, all of a sudden, we were more content with what we had. We realized that we could do this. It brought balance to our lives. It made us willing to live on less, to be more frugal, to stretch ourselves farther and farther, and to do more to make more money in order to pay back the debt. It's a beautiful thing, and if you eliminate giving and saving from your life, I'm telling you, it's going to be really, really tough.
Mm-hmm. Great, great input. Listen, Mary, thank you so much. What a delight to have you on our broadcast today.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I so enjoyed it.
Yeah, debtproofliving.com. You may want to go to that. We'll have a link on our website. If you didn't get that, you can go to homeward.com, and we'll have a link to Mary's website as well. You know what? Have a plan. Get a plan and put it together. If Mary and her husband could get out $100,000 worth of debt, you can too. And you know what? It may be one of the most important things you can do for your children. We oftentimes talk about other issues related to the kids, but if they see us being good financial stewards, then children see, children do. You're going to change a generation of kids. So what a privilege to have her on. The book is called Raising Financially Confident Kids. I'm going to hand it over to Roger.
All right. If you'd like more information about that book, of course, it's available wherever Christian books are sold and mainstream too. Mary's a New York Times bestselling author. You can check out Barnes & Noble, Amazon, or whatever. And we have a link to her site on our website today at homeward.com. If you're not there already, go to the broadcast section, radio broadcast, You'll find the roster that has Mary listed as today's program, and you can just click on her name, and that takes you right to her website. Also, Dr. Jim Burns has partnered with, this is a homeward partnership with Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company. Our good friends Rod Emery and company specialize in helping people make money through real estate investment trusts, but they also have a heart for ministry, and they've helped us create these tip sheets about raising financially confident kids as well. Go to homeward.com, articles and media section. Once you're there, there's a box right there that says get answers. Just type in the word steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T. You'll find these tip sheets. You can access those without cost. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.